Well, it's our pleasure to be joined by the great Darrell Thompson from Rochester, Minnesota, all-time great Gopher running back, and now for more than 25 years has had an impact in the community here in the Twin Cities as well as his home area of Rochester with Boulder Options. And first of all, Darrell, good to see you.
Good to see you, Mike. Good to be out and about a little bit.
Yeah, we're getting there, right? We're getting there where maybe things are a little bit getting back to normal, and certainly part of what we'll talk about is the challenge that that you and your staff at Boulder Options and the kids that you help have had here over the last year plus now. But before we get into some of those details, I think it'd be a good service to just tell us about Boulder Options. Certainly, I know people close to you and around the community know about it, but for those that are wondering, Boulder Options, what's it all about?
Well, I would describe Boulder Options as a youth program, a mentoring program, working with At Promise kids. 10 to 14 years old is our sweet spot. That's where we sign them up and match them up with a mentor. And we set goals, a physical goal, an educational goal, and one social, emotional goal that we'd like for them to work towards over the course of the year that they're in our program. And then the majority of our kids, over 90%, might actually join our alumni network. So we have probably a little over 400, maybe almost 500 kids in our alumni network officially, and probably unofficially, there's probably another 500 to maybe 1,500 kids that are in the program that are still connected to their mentor. So our goal is to introduce kids to a healthy lifestyle through activities, the running, the biking, our healthy habits curriculum. So that's what we've been doing for almost 29 years, actually. I've been with Boulder Options here for 26 years. So it's been a really, really beneficial program to the community.
How did you get started in it?
Great question, Mike. I was a volunteer, you know, just like what they have with Nerese at the University of Minnesota right now. Nerese Wilson, a football player, he takes the gentlemen out and they do different activities. And they didn't have a Nerese when I was in school, but they would just call and people would show up. So I went out with Ricky Foggy and other guys to different places. And Boulder Options is one of the Minneapolis JCs had a program, and I was a volunteer, and I grew to be part-time. And then when I got done playing pro football, it ended up just pretty much absorbing my entire life.
And here you are all these years later with the impact to the community. How rewarding is it for you to be able to see the impact that you and your staff have on these young people and watch them grow?
Very, Mike. You know, I think a couple years ago we got, you know, just kind of thinking about it, and I get tired sometimes, like, of everything that's going on in our community. But then I'll get a call, I'll get an email, someone will come to the building that's a graduate of the program. Maybe it's 2 years ago, maybe it's 10 years ago. I was at a Timberwolves game the other night, and a lady asked me about a mentee that was in the program 20 years ago. And I talked to the mentor, and the mentor was like, oh, yeah, Elder's doing great. He's actually teaching school now. And I was like completely lost track of this, like, this whole relationship. I said, that's not a, so I mean, those type of stories, they're fun. And it's also, it keeps me coming back to work when I get a little bit run down with just the trials that life throws at us.
Take me through an example of one. What kind of a youngster would get the help that they need? How do you get connected with them? And then what would generally, obviously everybody's experience, you know, is different, clearly, depending on the mentor. But generally or typically, what's the hope, and how do they get the help and get connected?
Well, Mike, it starts with a referral. So they get referred from us to us from a social worker or counselor in the school. Then we'd go out and sign them up at their house, and we'd come back probably within hopefully a month and a half to 2 months with the mentor, set a few goals. And then we have what we call our curriculum. So speakers come talk about health, goal setting, nutrition, financial literacy, sexuality, all kinds of different topics that we cover over the course of a year. And then we do activities on the weekend. So every weekend, well, probably 3 out of 4 weekends out of every month, we let the mentors know about activities. So last weekend we had a 5K run. We do bike rides, and we have activities over the course of the year. And then after a year, we have the celebration that we call it, invite them all to be in our alumni network. So there's highs and lows and activities, but I think what makes us different is the dosage. We get together 1 to 2 times per week with our youth, and then the activities. Most mentoring programs don't actually have an activity. So actually have an activity, we're running or biking. And the combination of that with the curriculum make us unique. And I think it also makes us sticky. And it also we have to be a little bit smaller. I mean, we're going to work with 100 to maybe 150 new kids per year, and some larger organizations, they might work with more, but they're nowhere near the depth of older options.
And then clearly then the need for mentors is there. So how do you get connected and find out, and if there's people listening that say, boy, I'd love, you know, I'm at a point in life where I think I can help. Maybe I'd like to take on a young person to help. How does that happen?
Well, someone gets involved typically because we go out and talk to them. So we'll talk to companies. We'll talk to, so we go running stores, biking stores. A lot of it's word of mouth or internet. So it's a lot of, that's how we find a lot of different people. So they get engaged in a lot of different ways with our program.
Yeah. And from that point, how has the COVID situation impacted what you guys try to do physically in terms of, you know, I'm sure there was a stretch where you couldn't engage face to face with the young people who need help. And how have you progressed now through getting, you know, safely to the point where you can have some of these events you mentioned?
You know, we're really, really careful, you know, as far as the COVID and the protocols. So in the beginning, we didn't really do anything. It was a lot of this. You know, a lot of Zoom, a lot of GoToMeeting, a lot of Google Chats, and then FaceTime on the phones. And as we got able to meet in person, be, you know, mask outdoor and those activities, that was a really big benefit. Because in the beginning, everyone liked technology. They were excited. Oh my God, I'm meeting over my phone. I'm meeting over my tablet. I'm meeting over the internet. And then what people were exhausted of it, you know, as soon as it got warm out last year, our participation went from 100% to literally 0%. So as soon as we could get outside and let the kids, you know, kind of run around in the neighborhood and, you know, come to the building and be outside, and you could have, like, there was certain, like, you could have like two people in the building at a time. They had to be apart. They had to have masks. There's all these rules. And I was like, okay. And we tape our graduation. So I haven't had an in-person graduation for a year. I'll record my comments and then go get them at the graduation. So we just had to just work with the current, the CDC and, you know, with the state of Minnesota. And we're really lucky with our kind of our legal counsel here at our organization. They were kind of helping us, guide us to kind of make sure that we could do as much as we could with our families and with our kids.
You have a golf outing each year that is part of the fundraiser. I know that you have many fundraisers over the year, and you rely a lot on donations and people to help, not just as mentors physically, but also, you know, in terms of others monetarily. Tell me about the golf outing, and I know there are still some spots open where if people want to help, have some fun, and enjoy the day, they can be a part of it.
Absolutely, yeah. This year, June 2nd is the date of our golf tournament, and we only have about 8 spots left for foursomes in our tournament. So we moved it from, we were doing it up north in Cambridge, and we moved it here into Lakeville, right in your neighborhood, Mike. And it's been a lot of fun. It's, you know, we'll give you some stuff. We have a good time, but it's also an opportunity for you to learn about our organization a little bit. We have a speaker at the beginning, a speaker at the end. And other than that, it's a fun day of golf and good food and good people.
If people want to sign up for that, or if they want to help in any way, shape, or form, what's the best way for them to do any of that?
I'd say just go right to our website. You know, you can go to the events page on our website, and you can sign up to be a mentor at that place. Or you can also sign up to be to pick up a foursome in our golf tournament as well.
Now, I wanted to ask you, too, you mentioned some of the challenges of the COVID-19 situation in terms of, you know, getting there and being able to have that, you know, face-to-face contact, which is so important. And we're talking, you know, about mentoring, you know, a lot of young people who are going through some troubled times. And I think in this case, with what's gone on here the last about year now with social unrest, with, you know, race relations, and there's, you know, there's a good number of children of color who you guys have helped. How has the year been? How have the youngsters handled it? How have the mentors handled it? And how have you handled everything that is on the plate right now in Minneapolis and the state?
It's been a challenging year, Mike, more than I could have ever imagined, you know, from the COVID, you know, shelter in place, as we all learned what that meant, to the George Floyd murder, to the social unrest. And then quite honestly, my own family, you know, being a black man, having, you know, kids of color, and my boys marching, and my daughter didn't, she was pregnant, so it was like a safety thing more than anything else. Yeah. And my boys were on the bridge when that truck went by. And that was one heart-wrenching moment to hear them, and, you know, and then just talking to them about it and trying to explain why people hate us. You know, I don't know why some people hate us. And it was a heart-wrenching moment for me to have to tell my son the same thing that my dad told me when I was a kid, that some people hate us merely because of the color of my skin, which he just didn't understand. And I didn't understand. And my dad didn't understand. And some, so it just kind of, it hurts, but I feel like it's been an awakening for us as a country and a community. And I'm hopeful that we'll move forward in a better better way as a country, because I think it's really, really important that everyone be treated equally.
Yeah, and certainly in kind of a an odd way, not a preferred way, but it has kind of awakened a lot of us in terms of indeed what challenges there are that are out there, and created maybe a new day of activism. You mentioned your sons, in fact, were on that bridge at a protest. And in a sense, I suppose you're very proud knowing that, that you know, you have family that is trying to carry a torch and make this a better community, and their friends and, you know, other people, in the sense that, you know, frankly, some of us thought, hey, you know, we're past a lot of where we're at, and now we realize we're not. Kind of take me through that part of this as it relates not just to your life, but also the organization Boulder Options and the young people that that you're helping.
Well, I mean, I think you're right. I mean, you've almost answered the question, you know, yourself in the question, but I feel like it's a yeah, very proud of our kids. I'm proud of what happened in our community. I think there's an obvious need for us to do better and to realize, even for, quite honestly, even myself, I'm kind of blessed and have like a little bit of notoriety, and I'm always just kind of like, man, I don't really want to like stick my neck out in that, like, or stick my, it's almost like you're sticking your arm out like to grab a bus. I'm like, I don't really want to do it. It's going to hurt my shoulder. I'm just going to wait, you know? And I'm like, nah, I can't wait anymore. You know, that was like, my boys are like, you know, we got to, and my daughters, both boys, both daughters, they're both like vocal, like, nah, this isn't cool. And my, actually my youngest boy and oldest boy, they were the ones that were like, we want to do something. I got a call that night. And that was the next day. We all marched, and I marched a couple times, and also realized that marching is not easy. It's actually, it's like, we're marching, we're going to meet somewhere, we're going to walk. There's not really a prescribed, like, how far we're going to walk. And I quite honestly wore down like two times. I was like, oh, I got to have tennis shoes on. I got to be like, you know, hydrated. This is not a easy, you know, end up walking one time 8 miles and another time 7 miles. And I had these little like kind of cool boots that I just wear. And I thought, oh, I walk around all the time in these, but they're not good for 7 or 8 mile walks. You know, they're meant to like come in and out of buildings and, you know, walk around, walk to the car and all that stuff. So it is important that we get involved civically, because it's, you know, things have to change. They just absolutely have to change as we follow the news every day. I can't keep track of how many people have even are getting killed. It feels like it just, oh, someone got killed. Oh, someone got killed. You know, like, I can't, it hurts, you know? So I think we all just have to do better.
The mentees that your organization helps, has there been through this a common theme or a question you get a lot from them? Certainly youngsters especially might be confused by everything. As you mentioned, hurt, certainly. I mean, it's hurtful for a lot, for everybody when they see stuff like this happen. But the young people, is there a common question you get from them?
Actually, you know what's interesting, Mike, is they know what's going on. And they're in the, I, one guy, oh, he said, I know some police. I said, no, I'm just telling you, the kids in the community told me that that was not our community, the people that were breaking windows and tearing things down. He said, I live here. I live in South Minneapolis. I live a block off Lake Street. Why would I go blow up Cub Foods or, you know, Kmart? Or, he said, that's not. I said, I saw the cars in the parking lot, saw the cars in the alley. I said, they had plates from every bordering state. And it was, he said, it was not us. It was interesting to me, just to like kind of straight up just listen to them. I'm just like, listening, and it was via text and some other stuff. I was like, this kid's like, this is not, these are our people. I don't know, these people are, they're not my neighbors. I don't know where they came from. They're here. There's gas cans in the alley. There's all kinds of other stuff. I was like, wow. So they knew what was going on, and they were angry and upset, but they also, they were part of the solution as far as let's be vocal. Let's be active. Let's get out there and, you know, obviously let people know that it's not us, because it wasn't them. You know, 90% of the time it was not them. It was someone else that came in that took advantage of a situation where there was unrest.
Yeah, for sure. One more time, give us the info on the webpage, and if people want to help, maybe they want to be a mentor, maybe they want to, you know, help the organization monetarily or what have you. What's the address and how can they help?
BoulderOptions.org, and Boulder does not have a U in it, and that's the best way to get in touch with us. So just go to BoulderOptions.org, or you can Google us, you can search engine, and find us pretty easily. We're right here in South Minneapolis, or you can even, well, probably not want to stop by the building, but you're more than welcome to stop by the building, and most likely someone will be here.
All right, very good. We appreciate it. Great work, Daryl, as always. The whole state of Minnesota looks at you and says, what an example, and Boulder Options is such an important organization. We thank you.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate it.